Welcome to the Nanoblitz.
All right, we're back with the Nanoblitz, day two of NFL draft.
Sonny Weaver Jr. has no picks this, you know, this round.
I'm going to do what's best for the team.
Yeah, you know, because he believes in overpaying for draft picks. And
well, you know what? He was paying for his ideals, ultimately.
Well, yeah, and the owner didn't help. I mean, that was, it, you know what? We're just going to blame it on the NFL owners. We're just going to do that.
Well, there's some truth to that.
You got to make a splash.
Got to make a splash. Or you're under order to not make a splash because we need to not win.
I sense there's something there.
Right. There's a little something there. You know, you and I were talking a little bit earlier about this, but and we've talked about this at length in general, but like the praise that the Rams get for how Les Snead has handled the draft and the whole F them picks phenomenon and all that. You know, it was a different tune when he was the GM for the Rams in St. Louis.
It was still F them picks. It was just, let's blow them.
Yeah, exactly. let's just not get quality players. You know, for all the praise he's getting for how he's building that team in L.A., it's like, well, where was that when you came to St. Louis? And wasn't there because it was communicated. Yeah, it was communicated. We're not going to do this until you get to L.A.
He's a good GM.
Oh, yeah. I like Les Snead a lot.
I think he's a pretty decent person, actually.
I'm sure he's just fine. I struggle with anybody associated with the Rams, though, that's not openly saying, hey, yeah, we were scoundrels to the St. Louis market. But, you know, that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about the draft.
Oh, well, wait, we wasted all that time watching that film on that dude.
Oh yeah. That was the commentary from Snead and McVay.
It was McVay, but it's Snead kind of had that look in his eye, like, dude, why are you saying this? Okay, I'll just go with it.
Yeah. But you know, Cole Strange to the New England Patriots. That was a pick yesterday that took everybody by surprise a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, and it definitely affected everybody's draft board. Nobody really had him going in the first round. And let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about the draft boards. You and I revealed our mock drafts yesterday morning before the draft started.
I did a terrible job, by the way.
And we put them out on Twitter before the draft started. And then as the draft was unfolding, we were like, dang, Nate called a lot of this. Nate was doing really well, especially the first few picks. But
I'm upset at myself about some of those, like the Falcons pick. I was like, do I go, you know, Jermaine Johnson, or do I go, you know, Drake London? Well, they went Drake London.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was a lot of picks like that I was like, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think as a whole, you know, this morning I said, you know what, I'm gonna sit down and take a look at how we did, and use the Huddle Report, which is the website that grades draft picks. And what they do is you get, for every player that you said was going to get selected in the first round, you get a point. And then for every player to the correct team, you get 2 points on top of that. Right? So when I go through and I graded it, you and I both picked 26 players that would get drafted in the first round.
Which is pretty good, considering.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were off by six. And you and I were not the same aligned on that, you know, like... Mm-hmm. Some of the guys I had getting picked or not getting picked versus some of the guys you had getting picked or not getting picked, they were different. So we both ended up with 26. And then where I picked 4 players to the correct teams, you know, that gave me a score of 34, which is, it's okay. I'm not going to write home about it, but I'm not upset at myself for getting that. But you had 7 players to the correct team, which gave you a score of 40.
Yeah, not all of them were at the correct position in the draft, that is.
No, but they were to the correct team, right? So you had a score of 40. Now, the highest score from yesterday was a 48. That 40 would have tied you for 50th amongst analysts. Right there, tied with you at 50th, was Daniel Jeremiah, who you and I have a lot of respect for. So that's kind of cool.
He's actually a former scout. So
yeah, he's a legitimate talent evaluator.
Yeah, he's an analyst now, but I would say he's really good. Him and Bucky are good.
Yeah, Move the Sticks. I listen to a lot of Move the Sticks when I'm making my draft classes and things. So a lot of good information there from those guys. But hey, that was cool. Like, we get to look back at it and say, hey, we actually posted these before, and this is how we did. And you know, and that was really fun. And it's even more fun for me because I think, you know, we make a big deal out of that. We're like, look, we're not scouts, you know.
No.
And like I said yesterday, we're not even YouTubers that try to pretend that we're scouts, you know. And like, if people are out there learning and doing stuff, like, hey, good on them. Continue to get better. Go out there and do that. You know, I mean, that's what Mel Kiper did. He just didn't have YouTube, right?
Yeah.
But if he had YouTube, he would have been the first of those types of that type of person. So, you know, good on you. Go do your thing, you know. But we don't look at our opinions and think they're the right opinions. We look at our opinions and think they're probable or they're possible or they're even plausible.
Yeah, I'm wrong a lot of times, so I'm not like you, Tim. You're better than I am.
Well, nobody is like me.
That's true, actually. truth.
I'm unique. All right. Well, we thought we would talk a little bit today about how the draft was, kind of react to some of our favorite moments. Talk about kind of who did we think did really well, who were our winners, and where were the head-scratching moments. And so we're going to start with our winners and kind of talk through what teams we thought did really well.
Okay. This is really, really hard. Like, I think last night after the draft, we were trying to kind of just get our mindset for some of the content for today, and you're like, oh, well, let's go top three. And I'm like, well, I could kind of go with almost like a top five or six. And I think both of us kind of came to a consensus that, hey, let's just let it flow just a little bit past that three, because it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
And also, whenever you're talking about a draft, it, you know, I mean, these are just first round. 50% of them aren't going to be, they're not going to be hits, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of, well, I mean, on average, they're that kind of thing. So, yeah. But I guess you want me to go first? Yeah, I'll go first.
Do you want to count to three? One, two, three, and then we both say the first team on our list?
No.
Okay. Well, then you go first.
Because I don't like speaking over you.
Okay. You go first.
Oh, just... my number one team had three picks in the first round. I think they hit their board very well. They had my number one overall, like, personal favorite scored player in Ahmad Sauce Gardner. But they went Garrett Wilson, which I thought that maybe they would go Jameson Williams, but I understand Garrett Wilson there as well. And then they traded back into the first round and got Jermaine Johnson. And I think all of those players are, like, in the discussion as tops at their position,
mm-hmm,
in this draft, if not the number one. No, not necessarily consensus or whatnot, but...
Sure.
They got three impact players that are going to play right away. Boom. Done. And they still have an early second round pick.
Yep.
You know, yeah. I think it's a great job. So that's my number one.
Yeah. And I said the exact same thing. We talked about that a little bit before we got started. We were thinking, I said, I bet we have the same first team. And we decided to wait to kind of see if that was lined up. And it is.
Yeah.
The New York Jets, number one, because they got three impact immediate players of need. They, when they traded up, they made a great move to trade up for a guy that definitely would not be there for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just kind of walking through it again. Sauce Gardner, in my opinion, he was the number one corner, potentially the best player in the draft, potentially. And look, this is an opinion.
Yeah, it's an opinion piece.
But if you go out and do a consensus, Sauce Gardner is either the number one or the number two corner on everybody's board, right?
Yeah.
So you got a top two corner. They got the wide receiver that I thought was the number one talent in the wide receiver class. He wasn't my favorite wide receiver, but I thought he was probably a consensus one. So again, this is a guy that, and the wide receivers, it's unfair to kind of look at them and say, this one's better, this one's better. They're different types, you know?
Yeah. And there's some very different types. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think Garrett Wilson is very versatile. So probably wasn't the type that you and I were envisioning for them, for the Jets, but it is a great wide receiver. So they address the wide receiver, they address the corner. And then when they trade back in for Jermaine Johnson at 27, Jermaine Johnson could have been a top 10 talent. He was my number three edge rusher behind Aiden and KT. So I think, again, you're seeing a guy that it's amazing that he fell to 27 and they had the good sense to say, he's not going to make it to us in the second round. We're going to go get him. I saw this morning the Jets had those three guys in their top eight.
Yeah.
So if you get three in your top eight, I think about it from like a Madden perspective when we do our Madden drafts. Like, this is exactly what I'm trying to do when I go do a draft and I trade up and I try to get more first round picks. This is exactly it. I want three impact players. I want a wide receiver that's going to be catching. I want a guy that's going to be rushing the quarterback often. And I want a guy that can shut down on defense. Like, this is the type of thing you want. These are the types of players you want. So the Jets, I think, number one in the draft yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I'll go number two here first. New York Giants.
Okay. Good. Good. Okay.
So they ended up with Evan Neal and Kayvon Thibodeau. Not in that order. They drafted Thibodeau first and then drafted Neal, which was, I think, something that you saw as a possibility.
I saw it.
I had them taking Neal. You had them taking Cross.
I liked Neal better than Cross, but I had just been hearing a little bit more about Cross at five. But they did the smart thing.
Yeah.
Thibodeau's there at five. Take him, and then you can take one or the other at seven.
Exactly. You're overthinking it if you didn't take KT there. And we had a great laugh. Because when that Make-A-Wish kid came out and announced it, how funny would it have been if he had like written it in and it was actually some other player on the card? What are you going to do? You're not gonna be like, no, the Make-A-Wish kid, it went rogue.
No, they would have done that.
Yeah,
it's
they would have.
The NFL.
But that would have been hysterical. But no, so they got KT and they got Evan Neal. Both of these guys at different points during the, you know, evaluation of this draft class going back to the beginning of the year, were listed as the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And you got both of them at 5 and 7.
Yeah. And you just played your board.
Yeah.
Now, granted, at 5 and 7.
That worked out really well for them.
Yeah, I mean, they positioned themselves, you know, the previous regime got the 7th pick for them, that kind of thing, but they positioned themselves, and then they stuck to it, right?
That's exactly it.
And you're improving both sides of the ball on that. No complaints at all there. I keep on going back and forth between my number three team and them, but I kind of narrowed it down to the Giants at two as well.
Okay.
For all the same reasons, like, they knocked it out of the park with that. Like,
didn't overthink it.
Nope. They didn't get sexy or too creative, I guess. They are sexy picks, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think those were very sexy picks.
But they didn't get too overthinking, like the whole Cross thing. I was like, well, why am I hearing this? Well, they were just drumming up interest that way. But
yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so who do you have at number three?
Number three, this is where it starts getting a little bit harder. I would almost, and I go back and forth on this, but I think that long term wise, this could be a very good move.
Okay.
And so this is where we start getting into that playing your board, moving around on the board or whatnot. I'm actually going, and again, I was tossing this, like my second through, fourth, I was kind of tossing back and forth, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to go with Baltimore, actually.
Okay.
Here. And I was like, well, should I put them on actually not losers, but the
head scratchers.
Head scratchers expected more. and there's a little bit of that to that because of the reaction of their quarterback.
Yeah, he was upset about losing a receiver.
Yeah, and
who caught 91 passes for 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah. He's not a number one receiver, though. Let's face it, you know.
Sure. I could see that. If you don't have the right person across from him, or you're not in the right scheme for his type, then, you know, maybe you force those 91 receptions. I don't know.
Yeah. But they just played the board.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously, you know, they gave up some to do that, you know, in a wide receiver. So we'll see what happens on day two. But Kyle Hamilton could be an All-Pro.
Well, did they give things up, or did they traded back for both of their picks?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm... Well, they gave up Brown.
They gave up Brown.
Hollywood Brown. That's what that's what I'm saying that they gave up. And they got... well, they did give up a third.
Okay.
And Hollywood Brown. Is that right? Yeah, third and Hollywood Brown. So essentially, you know, Hollywood Brown was the equivalent of a second-round pick, essentially.
Sure.
I
don't think it's not bad when you look at the value they got for him.
Yeah.
But the question is, what fills that void?
And they did, like, they built on the trench in Linderbaum, who could be probably potentially the best center in the NFL within a couple of seasons, right?
Yeah, Linderbaum's got a lot of potential.
And then you've got Hamilton, who goes all the way down to them at 14, which I think they were in that mix for Jordan Davis.
Sure.
But Hamilton just falls to them.
Yeah. And again, Hamilton is a guy that a number of people thought could be potentially the best talent in the draft at different points during the year. So that's nothing to shake a stick at. He's a fantastic defensive back, safety.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got basically the top player in each position group for the draft.
Absolutely, and
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And you got more picks by moving back from 23 to 25. You know, so it's you're offsetting some things.
And you moved a receiver that was unhappy because he did request a trade.
Yeah,
so that's a plus. So my number three, I've struggled with this because I can see myself flipping my three and my four here, but my number three was Philadelphia. They added Jordan Davis, who is a beast. They're going to have him next to Fletcher Cox this year.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's the heir apparent to Fletcher, who's on a 1-year deal.
They're the same player.
Yeah.
Like Fletcher Cox, like how fast he was, like, you know, running down a guy 40 yards down the field. Jordan Davis could do the same thing, which is crazy.
Yeah.
At their size.
Yeah.
And then
you move your second first-round pick and a fourth-round pick to get A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, a very talented receiver, possibly better than the receivers, more proven than the receivers that you're going to be drafting at that point. So you get a really talented wide receiver.
A true number one.
Yep. So you have to feel good about what Philly did in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then my number four is, which to me, this, my number four and my number three could have been tied or flipped. But number four for me is Kansas City Chiefs. So Kansas City moving up to get Trent McDuffie. So we had talked about this in yesterday's show. Trent McDuffie they wanted, needed defensive back help that could play in the slot. And here you are.
Yep. And you get McDuffie rather than Dax Hill.
Right.
Like, they needed that slot guy.
Yeah. So this is a guy who can really cover, which we talked about that you didn't have that with Sorensen, who was a safety, but still, like, this is a good pick right here at 21. And then on top of that, Karloftis falls to you at 30. And
yeah,
you could say he didn't fall. He went right where he was supposed to go. But this was a deep edge class, and Karloftis is a good, good player. So
maybe not as athletic. He's still an athlete, but he's not maybe as athletic as the guys before him.
Exactly.
But he's dang good.
Yeah. So you leveraged your capital to get the defensive back you needed and got an edge rusher without having to lose any more capital.
Yeah.
You got a talented guy. So Kansas City was my number four.
And I knew that they were moving up. Ironically, whenever this happened last night, Tim was like, what? You know, I had the Patriots trading back with the Kansas City Chiefs. I just had the wrong slot guy.
Right. Well, you had them taking Dax Hill at that point.
Because McDuffie was gone.
Yeah, because we assumed McDuffie was going to go to Philly. But
yeah,
or somewhere.
I had him Washington.
You had him Washington. Yeah. So number four for me was Kansas City. Who did you have?
I actually had Kansas City as well.
Oh, that's
the reason why I was kind of just, I'm going to make it my own as well. Like, I was ad-libbing with yours and cutting you off and
speaking over me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you want to tell me who, do you have a number five?
It's kind of like, I mean, Philly would be my number five because of the impact. Like, I mean, you could go a lot of different ways, and you can kind of say, oh, well, Green Bay kind of just stuck with their board, right? And they got two impact defensive players. But I like the idea of if you're going to do that capital, you're going to divvy it out between two, like both sides of the ball, right?
Sure.
And I love, okay, well, Philly's like, well, we need a true number one. We're going to build around. We're committed to Jalen Hurts at least this season. Mm-hmm. We've still got tons of capital for next year,
yeah,
which is stupid to think about.
Yeah.
And we've got a number one receiver that's signed for 4 years.
Yeah.
And we got arguably one of the best defensive linemen in the draft. Still.
Yeah.
I kind of go back and forth, but number five would be the Eagles, and I will actually give my number six at a different point, but yes.
Okay, and you mentioned something about Jalen Hurts and sticking with Jalen Hurts for at least another year. I think any team that didn't reach on a quarterback in the first round is a winner this year, or didn't give up any picks for him.
Yeah.
So that's good. So my number five, I think, might be surprising. I see a lot of people kind of knocking this move. But mine is Minnesota, the Minnesota Vikings. So the Minnesota Vikings had, what was it, the 12th pick?
Yeah.
And you and I had both thought they might move up to get defensive back help.
Yeah, I had them thinking Hamilton.
Yeah, and they could have taken Hamilton there at number 12. Instead, they move back and they get Lewis Seen out of Georgia, who is, again, nobody to, you know, turn your nose up to. This is a talented safety, a talented defensive back who could help their secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And then they in turn get a top second round pick to turn around and pick another player here shortly. They addressed their need. Got a quality player off the best defense in like college history and are now going to be picking again in a couple of picks. To me, I feel like anytime you can address your need and increase your picks and still walk away with the quality of player that they walked away with, I'm not looking at this and I'm looking at the other side and I'm thinking, okay, you know, kudos to Detroit for not reaching on a quarterback, but they gave up. They went and got their future wide receiver. But everything we're seeing with receivers right now, this year, receivers are unhappy. Receivers feel like they're underpaid. Receivers are getting even more and more like divas. Where they, and I don't mean that in a negative connotation.
They've always been divas.
Yeah, but they're wanting to go where they want to go. They're erasing, you know, their teams from their Instagrams and things like that.
Quarterbacks do that too.
Right. So you get Jameson Williams. They do. You get Jameson Williams there at 12, and you move up to get him, but you don't know if you're going to have what you need to get a franchise quarterback next year. Right? So Detroit is hoping to maybe get a guy somewhere that's going to make Jameson Williams worth the number 12 pick for them.
Yeah, there's some projection. I mean, all of these are projection, but yeah. Like this is a high-end projection, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I'm not ripping Jameson Williams. I think he's a fantastic receiver. I think he went about where he was supposed to. I just was uncertain as to why Detroit thought they needed to go get him.
There's a lot of rumors that Kansas City was going to move up to 13
For him. And that would have been a possibility. So, yeah. So Detroit goes up and gets him. And so if you're Minnesota, you see that Jared Goff gets a quality young receiver in Detroit. Okay, great. And then you get Lewis Cine and a player yet to be named here very early in the second round. And we are still very deep in this draft. There are a lot of good players on the board available for Minnesota to take here. Like, I thought this was a good move because of who they took.
Ironically, my number six was Detroit.
Was it? Well, I'm not saying Detroit did poorly or did the wrong thing.
Well, I'm glad that we're kind of talking about this because I see it as a different side of things. So it really is a truth-telling of the different regime that you have in Minnesota and also the different regime that you have in Detroit. Mm-hmm. So on the positive, like Detroit made that move, right?
Yes.
And I applaud them for that. And they did that in division. And the reason why I have them at number six is they, like, and people use the term, like, fleece them or what, you know. But you moved up 20 spots.
Yeah.
For very little, okay? And it's a lot, but it's very little considering that you have 2 second rounds. So now they still have a second round pick. And, yes, they gave up, 32 and 35. Yeah. And that's good draft capital for Minnesota. I applaud Minnesota for actually getting their need and getting it at the right position, like at the right spot in the draft.
Yes.
Right? So I'm not, but I think Minnesota could have got more. And that's my only thing. So it's
maybe.
And with the in division thing, that's the reason why I would have had them at six and why I also would have had Minnesota in my expected more.
Yeah, well, but that's the thing, though, is I think you look at who Minnesota took with that pick at number 32, and knowing that they're picking second here in the second round. Again, if you look at that pick and you say, oh, but they could have had this guy.
Yeah.
And you could kind of do that, but still, Lewis Cine is a good, good player that... was it Jordan Reed was like he could have gone much higher than that.
Oh yeah.
You know, so you're getting fantastic value at 32. You're getting another second round pick. So at the end of the day, I don't think Minnesota did poorly in this trade.
We'll see what they do at in the second round.
Well, if they blow the number two pick in the second round, then yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
But cool. Well, those were our winners or our kind of our positive moments.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some of the head scratchers. And I had you start on the winners. So why don't I start with the head scratchers?
Okay.
My number one head scratcher, and you and I talked about this last night. I said I needed to sleep on it, but I'm still in the same feeling the same about this. Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, number one, they took Trayvon Walker first overall. He was not, this is an opinion, he was not the best player on the board at number one. He's not the best player at his position, but that is who you took. you and I talked about this yesterday a little bit, and I asked this question. If you take Trayvon Walker number one, are you saying I'm smarter than everyone else? And I think that's exactly what you're saying. And it's when it's coming from a GM that nobody likes on a team that everybody thinks is a joke, get your priorities straight.
And I said that they're not going to get their priorities straight, right, if right. I remember correctly.
No, you're right. So they drafted Trayvon Walker. So I didn't get that. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Trayvon. He's a good player.
Yeah.
To me, he was not the number one. He's not even in my top three edge rushers or edge players. So again, I didn't understand that move. To me, it was a move to say I'm smarter than you. The second part of this though is they lost their first pick in the second round, a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick to go up and get Devin Lloyd. And so Lloyd is great. You know, I know you had Quay Walker as your number one interior. I had Lloyd as my number one interior linebacker.
I like Lloyd better, like, personally.
Sure.
But Quay Walker, I think, fits the NFL scheme overall. But the only thing that I had against Lloyd was questionable, like, what's the health?
Yeah. Right?
And I had heard that, and maybe that was noise or whatnot, and I got distracted by that. I actually like Lloyd a lot.
Sure.
Personally, I would have picked, you know, Lloyd over Quay Walker. So from that standpoint, yeah, I'm in agreement there.
So now you're paying Devin Lloyd a first round contract, and you don't have a pick in the second round.
Yeah.
And
you got a lot of needs.
Yeah, and who's sitting here right now? Like, interior linebacker was fairly deep. Maybe guys you didn't like as much as others. Like, N'Kobe Dean is still there in his pink suit.
Anderson's there.
Yeah, Trey Anderson from
Montana.
Montana. I mean, there's some guys out there. I'm actually a big fan of Olukunu Fatakasi from Rutgers.
Actually, he's pretty good too.
Yeah, I think he's a sleeper of mine. I think that somebody could get late, and maybe he's a development player. But
he just likes to say that 10 times fast.
I do, but I'm not going to do it here because I don't want to make you feel bad that you can't. So you made this point this morning when we were talking about this. Devin Lloyd could potentially have still been there.
He was going to be there at 33. He was going to be there with what I talked about with unless
you think New England is going to take him. Because I could have seen New England taking him at 29, but I feel like this to me, you lost capital, you didn't get the best players at their positions, and you could have had potentially the same players or comparable players later in the draft.
So the draft value
exactly
is exactly so it's yeah.
So that's why Jacksonville is number one head scratcher for me. Who do you got?
Don't judge me on this.
No.
I actually have New Orleans.
That is interesting to me.
So, and this is, okay, so this isn't a problem with their picks. Like, I actually like the players that they picked. And
you even mocked Penning to go to them.
Yeah, and Olave.
I don't think you had Olave going to him. You had Garrett Wilson going to them.
Oh, right.
But
you made a comment.
I remember you made a comment. They like their Ohio State guys down there.
They do. I just had the wrong one.
Right.
So to me, like, so you move up twice essentially to get Olave. That's the only problem that I have with their picks.
Okay.
Is the capital that they used. You don't have a first rounder next year. And then you spent more capital. Well, yeah, currently. I'm just like, okay, well, you move up to get a quarterback. Typically, like, you spend another first rounder to get an impact person.
Sure.
And I and Olave to me is not a number one. So to me, like, there's some issues there.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually like the Pinning pick a lot more. Like, that makes boom. I thought that they had him at 16, you know, that kind of thing. So it's.
You make a good point, though. I forgot they had already traded up once.
And that's my only, that is really my only issue, is just the draft capital that they're doing long-term GM-wise does not compute. And repeatedly, this has happened. You know, this is the Marcus Davenport trade again.
Yeah, maybe. But so devil's advocate on here, like, if you see that all the wide receivers are about to go, and you had traded up to get a wide receiver, and now you're realizing that guy's not going to be there, is it the right thing to do to move up and get your guy? I get that traditionally we say, oh, you reserve that for a quarterback, but, like, there was not a game-changing quarterback, and that always bothered me. Like, I'm not moving up to go get a Mitch Trubisky. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that. Moving up to get a Malik Willis didn't make sense here.
No, it doesn't.
But you needed your wide receiver. You needed an offensive weapon, and you went up and got a guy, again, who is a, you know, I mean, the top five wide receivers feel like they all at some point could have been the number one wide receiver taken.
Yeah, and at one point, even Olave was pretty much the number one wide receiver, you know, like, taken or whatnot.
Yeah.
Pre this past season and whatnot. So I totally get that. I just don't like
losing all that capital.
I just can't overlook next year, because what if your Jameis Winston experiment fails?
True.
That's possible. No, Taysom Hill's not the answer.
Well, we know that.
He's a tight end.
No, you make an excellent point, and losing that capital is you know, as good as these wide receivers may be, traditionally the best wide receivers come later in the draft.
I like the second round wide receivers personally.
Yeah.
Early second round.
Okay, so who's your number two?
Well, I would have put them number one, but I just wanted to be different than Tim. actually, maybe not so different. New England.
Yeah. Okay. That's my number two as well.
Yeah. What the hell? Like, I mean, so here.
Would you say that pick was weird? He thought I was going to say strange.
You're going to get coal for your Christmas present. Okay. I don't have a problem with the player. I actually like the player very, very much.
Sure thing.
Again, much like you know, the Saints, it's where you're drafting them.
Yeah.
Yes, they move back and they get more draft capital and stuff like that, but I mean, come on. He's not but at the same time, like, your interior lineman. Yeah, like, everything in the second round now is, like, project.
Yeah.
Strange is day one starter. I get it, but come on. Yeah, I just...
The value doesn't seem
it right. Is just not valuable.
Yeah. So I feel like there was maybe no desire to trade back again, and...
I don't think that there were any takers.
And that's possible. And as I said, like, I could have seen them taking a Devin Lloyd, so maybe their guy was off the board, and so they took the next guy down the board. But again, like the Rams were saying, this is a guy that a lot of people thought would be around the 100th pick, still out there, which is the third round. So you could have got him next round, and again, saved on the value for the player. So yeah, so that's, again, that's why I have him there. Now, when I look at, like, how Jacksonville did it, Jacksonville took their guys because they're smarter than you. I think Belichick takes these guys because he just doesn't care what you think. He's like, well, I have a pick and I'm going to spend it on what I need, and I don't care where you think he should be on my shopping list.
Yeah.
So, you know, fair enough, but that's why they're number two for me, and I think for you is the value.
Yeah, values.
Okay, so let's go on to number three here. My number three, and we have a great photo of our response to this, is Washington.
Well, we're spot on this one. Yeah.
So, did you have Washington here too? Okay. So Washington, the Washington Commanders drafted Jahan Dotson at what, 15?
16.
16.
Yeah. In the trade with Philadelphia.
Yeah. Wait. No. With the Saints.
With the Saints. Yeah.
Sorry. So here's the thing. I like Jahan Dotson. There are people who had him mocked in the first round. I probably wouldn't have had him mocked as a first-round receiver. Excuse me. I wouldn't have had him listed as a first-round receiver. I would have seen him as a second or third-round receiver, personally. But I'm not a scout. You know, he's just not at the top of that list for me. Okay, so I don't have a problem with him going in the first round. But this felt like a panic. This felt like the guy they wanted wasn't there, so they took the next best receiver. And this is why this is a problem for me. You had the 11th pick, and you traded it so that somebody else could take Chris Olave. And then, who went at 12? Jameson Williams?
Yeah. Wait. Because it went 10, 11, 12.
So 10, 11, 12, yeah. Right? So you see Garrett Wilson come off the board, and you're like, you know what? I'd really like a wide receiver here, but New Orleans is offering me the 16th pick, so I'm going to take that and trade back. And then they take a wide receiver, and you're like, oh, okay. And then Detroit trades up and takes Jameson Williams. You're like, oh, okay, well, let's just take Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, they tried to get too cute.
Yeah, and I think this was like they were caught with their pants down. They moved back to try to get capital, but they traded what they needed and then took the second best option, still way too high.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't go until the 23rd to the 25th pick.
Yeah. If you needed a wide receiver that high, you should have stayed where you were and taken Williams or Olave.
Yeah. But then again, their track record of first round draft choices of wide receivers, it's not good.
It's not good. And I get it too. Like, you look at, well, what else would they draft? You and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Like, what else would they be drafting there? Are they ready to give up on their middle linebacker they took last year? Or are they, you know, like,
what they could have drafted there was Trent McDuffie.
Trent McDuffie would have been a great pick.
Trent McDuffie.
Yeah. So, yeah. So Washington was number three for me. And you said it was number three for you?
Yeah. That's odd. But.
Okay. Okay. Do you have a number four?
Because
I have a number four.
Who else could I trash here?
Do you want me to give you my number four?
Oh, yeah. You do it, and I'll think here.
Okay.
Well, actually, I already know it, but anyhow.
All right. My number four is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
And the reason is they took Kenny Pickett at 20. No other quarterbacks came off the board. Why? Why take Kenny Pickett there? Is Kenny Pickett the future? Is he really the future? Because it feels like you have Pittsburgh bias going on right now. It feels like you feel connected to this player. I'm not saying Kenny Pickett's a bad guy, but I don't see him as being a better. I don't even see him as being a better option than Mitch Trubisky, you know. So maybe you're hoping that Trubisky can be a bridge and Pickett becomes your future. But
yeah, they signed Trubisky to a bridge contract.
Yeah, but think about this: if you don't take Pickett, does a quarterback go in the first round?
No,
probably not. So you would still have the entirety of the board available to you in the second round. Now you're picking 20th, so maybe some of these guys go, but at this rate, maybe you have a guy like a Sam Howell or a Carson Strong or a Desmond Ridder available for you in the second round at 20.
I think that they stuck with their guns and they probably had him rated higher, again, because of some of the same stuff that you had mentioned there. He's a local prospect, essentially.
Yeah.
So from a ticket selling standpoint, those kinds of things, at least initially.
If he's not starting, how's he selling tickets?
Well,
like, is he really going to get the starting nod before over Trubisky?
He could.
like, I mean, this could be like a Russell Wilson type thing, only you gave up a lot more, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I'm not comparing Kenny Pickett to Russell Wilson.
Only in the sense that he could beat out the incumbent.
Exactly. Like, you know, Matt Flynn, you know, Russell Wilson thing. Well, yeah. You know, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's the Trubisky contract allows you to do this and still have Trubisky as a very, very capable backup.
Sure. I just feel like you could have done better. You could have gotten You could have gotten something that was going to enhance what Trubisky was doing and have the ability to go get a better quarterback next year.
Yeah,
you know, like get the pieces to put around these players instead of reaching on a quarterback. That's not going to be. He's not going to be a Ben Roethlisberger.
He's a lower half of the league starter.
Yeah, if that. I mean, he's still like light years better than Jordan Love.
Well, he's the same age.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for one thing, his foot works a lot better. But anyhow, and it still needs improvement. But
sure.
I have. And this is actually, I already kind of spoke on this. So my next team would be Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I already kind of spoke on that. Is you had the opportunity to potentially get more. Yes, I agree with the pick, and I agree with the capital in the second round that they got or whatnot, but there should be and then. And that's and so you were dealing within division, and the issue that I have with this is you could have had Jameson Williams.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Minnesota could have had Jameson Williams. Do they need Jameson Williams?
They need something.
I don't think it's a receiver.
Well, I mean, Thielen's on the way down. I mean, he's. Well,
sure.
You know, like, but I mean.
But you don't have a need to replace him today
with
first round wide receiver.
No.
You know, maybe.
I think they go in the second round. They. Maybe even with this next pick. Again, it's a lot to be seen, I guess, day two.
But who's available there? You know, Jordan Davis is available there, right? Because he got picked at 13.
Yeah.
You know, there's defensive options.
Yeah.
You know, there's things you could have done there. Mm-hmm. But I
think they were worried with some of the previous regimes. Cornerbacks and high cornerbacks, you know, like 12 and, you know, that, you know, all the way up to number 12, and 12 has just not been good for them. So I think getting out of that position, getting some more draft capital. Yes, that's good. Like you can get a Boye Mafe possibly, you know, with the pick that they got.
Right? Yeah. I'd love to see that.
You know, like, it is yet to be seen. That's the reason why I have them kind of, you know, on the low end of this, because they can nail it with the second round picks, you know, and I could be like, hey, cool, done.
Yeah.
You know, because Sean is, he's going to start day one for them.
Yep.
And, you know, like, and he's versatile. He could play in the box a bit, but he could play in space. And you're like, I mean, he's good. So I'm not dogging that at all. It's just within division and, you know, like what you could have done maybe, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
It's a rebuild.
I get it. I'm seeing that glass as half full. And we'll see what happens with the next pick. I'm seeing that glass as half full. Okay. All right. So those were our hits and misses, so to speak, our winners and our head scratchers. Good conversation, definitely. And that's what I love about this is there's so many different opinions that there can be on what would have been best. And then we won't really know until we see it all played out on the field. But now I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute. And I'm going to ask you some pointed questions and see about what's happening next.
Okay.
Since you're now our guru.
okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a guru.
I know you're not, but... But I'm going to milk this. So Who is the next quarterback taken?
Ooh.
Bonus points. Who takes him? By the way, if you need to see the order.
Oh, I got it right okay. in front of me.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I don't have to worry about that. Dang it. So this is where it's hard because I have some internal bias here.
Which is better than external bias.
I make no excuses or anything like that. Obviously, anybody, you know, of any of the 12 people who have listened to this at any given moment. Shout out to Jason and Ryan Tannehill, although you're going to hate me for this.
I know where you're going then.
Well, it's a mixture. Okay, so the next two teams, the order as stands, the next two teams are Tennessee and Seattle, right?
No.
No.
Oh,
for quarterbacks.
Okay.
I see.
Tennessee's picking third.
Mm-hmm. And Seattle's picking what? Eighth.
Eighth and ninth yep. in this round, yeah.
So Seattle actually brought in Desmond Ridder.
For a personal workout, yeah.
Yes. That doesn't necessarily mean everything, but they wanted to dig a little deeper. And Seattle does need to bring in competition for Drew Lock.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to, again, like he said, he's not going to make excuses. I'm not going to make excuses for him. I do want them to commit to him.
Sure.
And I think as a second round pick, you're pretty much, you're saying, hey, you know, you start off bad.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. That kind of thing. And, you know, to bring in a quarterback, in the second round, I just don't fully agree with that. Personally, but again, bias. So I'd actually go Tennessee with Ridder.
Tennessee taking Desmond Ridder.
Yep.
Not a Malik Willis. And you think, so and then if it's not Tennessee, you think it could be Seattle, but it would still be Ridder.
Ridder, I think, would still be the choice, yeah.
All right.
Like, yeah.
If you're Tampa Bay, are you thinking about it right now?
No. Ironically, no, because you drafted Trask, which I don't know why you draft him in the second round, last year. But they spent capital on him, so it's like, okay, you know, we're going to ride this thing out.
Yeah, but your head coach is gone.
Yeah, but he's still in the front office.
Oh, well, that's a great point.
Okay. So, I mean, he's moved up. He's an executive.
Okay. Minnesota took a quarterback last year, too. Are they thinking about it?
It is a different regime, but I think no. I think you're like, okay, well, we've got to ride Cousins. See what we get in Mond.
Who would you rather have, Kellen Mond or Malik Willis? And in this case, to develop, not to start.
To develop, I do like Willis, but Mond is taller, and there's more film on him, right?
Okay.
I'm not a believer in Mond, like, long term. I think that's my issue, so I'd say Willis.
Okay. All right. Who's the next receiver coming off the board?
I do like Christian Watkins personally.
He is the next best available wide receiver according to ESPN's rankings.
I think you got him and Sky Moore and what's the kid from?
John Metchie.
Alec Pierce.
Alec Pierce they have down at number 5, but it depends on whose ratings are going.
Exactly,
up.
Yeah. So, it really depends on the scheme, but I would say
Christian Watson.
Yeah. And the real question is where he goes. Like, somebody's probably going to either A, move up, or a team that is early is probably going to stick, or he slides all the way to the back end of the second round. One of the two. Like, yeah, I could see him, Kansas City going either him or Pickens is there too. Dang it.
Pickens is there, but there's a lot of people turned off by Pickens right now.
Yeah, I think Pickens maybe slides into the third.
I think he's a steal in the third round.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you can take a third round flyer on him and
yeah,
voila.
Give him a shot.
Yeah. Okay. But I got Watkins.
All right, Watkins. All right, then. Next, who's the first running back off the board?
Again, it's a little bit of your pick your poison, but I Breece Hall. I think Breece Hall has a little bit more film. He also has more wear,
yeah,
I guess, than Walker or Pierre Strong or
Spiller.
Having seen Spiller, I wasn't overly impressed.
Oh, we talked about this yesterday. Personally, yeah. Just how A-Chain might be better than Spiller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more explosive. Yeah. Spiller's pretty big. I just think acts like Tarzan, hits like Jane.
Okay.
I don't know. Just...
Okay, but you're saying...
At Breece Hall, and maybe even at 33, even. They need a running back, but there's a lot of value there. At 33, so I don't know if he goes that high.
Okay. Who's the first team taking a tight end?
You really put me on the spot. Well, be the kid out of Colorado State.
Trey McBride.
Yeah.
So well, he'd be the first one, but who do you think's the first person draft? What's the first team that's going to go tight end? And do you think it'll be a second round, or are we going to wait till the third?
I think it'll be the late second, mid to late second. Trey McBride. Trying to think of where Tennessee picks.
Tennessee is picking.
They only have
third?
One. Pick in the second,
and they're picking third, so yeah. And they could probably get a good guy in the third round if they wanted to wait.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle could go,
they're not in the third round though.
Or New York is there at 36.
There, never mind.
That's way too high for him though.
Too hard to guess.
It's really hard to guess. I would say he doesn't block though, so Tennessee no. Golly, this is hard. I say he goes into the third, and maybe Tennessee.
Okay.
Tennessee third.
Tennessee in the third. Okay. Yeah. All right, last one for you. Do we see a punter or kicker taken in this draft?
Yeah, the punter out of San Diego State.
Matt Araiza.
Fifth round?
You think fifth round?
Fifth to seventh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that kid's got a leg.
Yeah. I mean, he's good. Like, special teams could win you games, or lose you games, as,
absolutely,
Green Bay very well knows.
Yep.
Right? But he is getting it inside the 20. He's good.
Yeah. Drafted punters don't typically do well.
They don't, but I mean, you had that Dixon kid Seattle has, and I mean, he won the bowl game against Mizzou for Texas. Like, I mean, he just kept on pinning them deep inside the 10. There's so many innuendos here. now that I think about it, you know, fifth round, like, if you're completely sold, but I mean, get a seventh, like, there's plenty of teams with sixth and seventh round picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get a guy who's going to make your squad.
Makes sense.
You know, yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the questions I have for you, putting you on the spot there.
Okay. Where do you think David Ajabo goes?
Okay. Ajabo is getting picked in the second round, in my opinion.
Of course. But
as far as who picks him, that's really tough for me to say. I'm not great at identifying what teams need.
Seattle? Chicago? Yep.
Seattle, Chicago. Chicago would be a great place because they moved on from Khalil Mack.
So, Minnesota?
Chicago, Minnesota, sure. I think all those guys could take a...
Maybe even Tennessee. I mean, there's... Geez, could you think, like, what if, and this isn't going to happen, but what if the New York Football Giants
get a job?
Holy crap.
I feel like you're...
I mean, you're triple dipping there, but...
Yeah, I feel like you're putting too much, yeah, too many eggs in one basket there.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry.
No, it's good.
Atlanta.
Question.
Atlanta's there, but they may go quarterback. Corral.
Atlanta might go quarterback if...
Or Willis.
Yeah, I think they would like Willis personally. And I could see them going quarterback, but they may not. Because, again, a guy could be there for them later.
Or next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I don't think they are in a situation where they need one. And they're picking two... But, and they also have two picks in the second, right? They're picking an 11 and 26 in the second round, and they're picking twice in the third round. So they could see a quarterback available there.
Yeah.
Go with Mariota and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like Matt Corral to Atlanta because I did that in Madden.
you see, the world revolves around Tim.
It's accurate.
And he's very, I was going to say, not heliocentric, but Tim-centric.
Yeah. Look, all I'm trying to say is that the world doesn't revolve around Chad. Who should play his game, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, he should play his game.
We're actually in the off-season. He can't play a game.
Yeah, I think we're good. You know, enjoy the second round. I still think there's going to be some movement. There's still good players out there.
Yeah.
Offensive line is, everything's a project now.
Yeah.
I think.
But I think in the second round, we have so many opportunities to go, oh, that's a great pick, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like Ajabo.
Yeah.
Like, despite the Achilles thing. So, yeah.
Well, it's going to heal, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's an Achilles.
Well. Okay.
He didn't heal from it.
Jeez.
If you could only see Tim's face. No, you're good. Medical stuff has come along, or in the last 5,000 to 6,000 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So if we were drafting like Greek heroes, I would not draft Achilles. I would maybe draft Hercules, but I digress. Why don't we wrap this before we go off the rails any further? We'll go ahead and go off and enjoy the draft. We may do some more content, possibly today, possibly tomorrow. We've got a few other things that we can run with. We'll see what happens. But
cheese. We're going to run with cheese.
Little smokies.
Oh, yeah. Meatballs. I'm going to do what's best for the team.